They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. Simple song, simple words, but a very deep truth. Thank God for his love. Amen. Brother Mark.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Good to see you today. Jesus loves me. One of the most profound statements that I could make. We probably don't really, really grasp that either. If you look at the word in the New Testament called agape, that's one of the Greek words for love. The Greeks had four words for love. The highest form is agape. If you look at that in the New Testament, we really don't get that Jesus loves me. A little kid's song, but the profundity of that, wow. Well, let me read off some prayer requests here. Phyllis is back from Maryland, so this is kind of a praise. It's what?
She's back from MD.
Oh, MD. I saw MD and I thought Maryland, sorry. Okay, all right. So that's a praise though, right? That's a praise, okay. Praises are always in order. Always in order. That's good to hear. Okay, Shania Thompson is, Diane? Pregnant, I'll use, yes. We got it. Okay. She's having a high blood pressure, and that's your granddaughter, right? Okay. My wife had high blood pressure, preeclampsia, with our second, and it was really, really bad. So, yeah, did she tell you? Yeah. So, all right. So let's pray for Shania. Is that right? Shania, okay. Beverly McConnell having some testing. Bill Magnus had an injury. He's in Johnson City Medical Center. Lucia Kahn, Foster's mother, is that right? Has an arm injury. And Phil Stocklager is in bad health. I don't think he's in this class, but he does come here to church. All right, so that's our prayer request. I would ask you, if you have the prayer sheet, just look that over. And if there's anything that needs to be updated, deleted, changed, added, then that's fine. You can make the changes back there on the sign-in table, okay? So let's always try to keep this thing current, all right? Well, let's pray, and we'll move on. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we can be here together. I look outside, and I see sunshine and blue sky. I give you thanks for that. Earlier, we had snow, and we had rain, and all the different things that you send us is what we need. It's what we receive at your hand, and we're supposed to be thankful for it. Thank you for the song that we sang opening up this morning, Jesus Loves Me. Thank you for that agape love that the New Testament talks about. Even though we don't really completely understand that, I don't think we completely get it. I don't know that we, in this life, in this flesh, that we ever really will completely understand it. But we can revel in it. We can marvel in it. We can embrace it. And we can give you thanks for it. Thank you that you love us. As you look down over this class, you know, as I stand here, I can look out and I can see a big glob of people. But when you look out, you see individuals. Every single individual is unique to you. You love them with a love that we just cannot understand. So thank you. We just want to give you thanks, give you praise. And we add to that one praise of Phyllis being back from the cancer center. And praise is always in order. And we want to thank you for all the good things you've done for us. And when you answer prayer like this. And we've got many people with physical ailments. And I've read off the list earlier. They and their families need your help right now. They need your comfort, your peace. They need physical healing. They need guidance. And I pray for each one of these situations, Lord, that you would make yourself known, make yourself real. Give them that sense of that agape love that you have for them as they're going through these physical problems. Now, I'll pray for Brother Dan as he comes and opens up the Bible and imparts wisdom to us, because we know your word is wisdom, and we need wisdom. We need whatever he's got for us today. Give us something that we can take away and use this week. Help us to walk with you. Help us to love you. Help us to be in your word each and every day so your word can get in us and change us as you would have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Mr. Dan.
I was waiting for a sermon before the sermon, but I guess we're not going to get that this morning. That's okay. Thank you, Brother Mark. Mike Roberts, thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate it. We'll get by and say hi to you here in a little bit. I'll try to do that, but let's make him welcome this morning at the end of our Sunday school class. And it sure is good to have you. I want you to feel welcome, and thank you for being in our class. If you look around and you'll see some empty spots where you normally would not see an empty spot, there's a reason for that, and we're not going to publicize it, but just pray for those folks. We've got several that that have been affected health-wise, and so just keep that in mind. Now, not everybody that's not here this morning means that they've got COVID, all right? Let's not carry it that far, but I'm just hoping that this next wave, I'm not praying about this, all right? So I'm not asking God for this, but I'm just praying that those that are going to get affected will go ahead and get infected and get it over with, and let's just move on, all right? Enough of trying to keep it away. I remember when we used to have parties when we were kids, and our moms, one of us would get like the mumps or something like that, something not real serious, but a couple of those childhood diseases, and they would have parties and invite the rest of the kids over that didn't have it to get it over with. And the rule was that there were some, or chicken pox, that's right. And so the rule was that if you wait until you get older, it's much worse. So get it over with when you're younger, and they'd have these little parties. We've come a long way, haven't we? And we've got a little bit more intense about some stuff. Now, I am not minimizing by any stretch of the imagination the seriousness of the illness, okay? And that is in fact true, and there is a serious part of that and a serious factor of it. But one thing that we cannot get away from, and Pastor alluded to this in his message, is the absolute of the Word of God. And when you go back to absolute, that's something that you can count on. And that is that God is in control. And there is nothing that will happen to you, there's nothing that will happen to me that has not first passed through God's hand. And He would have allowed. Now, He's not the creator of the evil in the world. That was not His original purpose. We could go to Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and we see God's original purpose for creating man and the environment that God created for man to live in initially. So we know God's original purpose, but He created man with a will, and man with his own free will decided to disobey God. And when sin entered into the world, it corrupted the entire world. And that has affected every area of our life, including health, including the condition of nature and all that. All that has been affected by sin. And so that's why we experience what we experience. But if you are a child of God and you have Christ in your heart as your personal Savior, you are in God's family. He watches over His own. And He may allow something to happen in your life, but He will always, according to Romans 8, He'll take everything that happens in your life, whether it be good or bad, and He can arrange that we benefit from it, okay? Even from the bad in our life, God takes it and He'll rearrange that, and even though it's something that's bad and we consider a bad circumstance, He can get good out of anything for our sake because He loves us. And He cares for us. Amen? So we love that. We love that and we rest in that. That's why I have a smile on my face. If I didn't have Christ in my heart, I would be institutionalized because I would be batty. I'm already right there on the edge anyway, according to Carmen. But I would be batty if I didn't have Christ and if I didn't have the hope of eternal life and the hope and faith in God. Amen? And so we got a lot to be thankful for. This morning, let's start a lesson on the will of God. We're going to continue in our series of just touching the basics of our walk with Christ. And so we just finished up speaking about what to do with sin. And hopefully we were able to help some folks out in handling this fact of what to do with my sin. Because we all have it. We all do it. But sometimes we get hung up on the fact of how do I handle this as a believer. So I hope that helped you. But this morning we're going to look at the will of God. How do I find God's will for my life? That's a big one. That's a big one. Why? Because, again, you know me by now. I'm very transparent. I've sat under many messages, many preachers, all different kinds of preachers. And I've heard so many messages to the point where, I mean, I'm telling you, you get overwhelmed with guilt because of what's being preached. Now, it's not a bad thing. Conviction is a good thing, especially if it's the Holy Spirit of God by way of the Word of God that's being preached. I'm all for that. I do that. That's wonderful. But sometimes we get overwhelmed because so much is being thrown at us by way of God's will for our life that we become overrun with guilt because we're not doing something that somebody else is doing. So how do I find God's will for me, for my life? See, as a minister of the gospel, at one time as a missionary, I could get up and I can share things and I can preach from a missionary's perspective or from a minister's perspective, and one could get the idea that everybody should be a preacher. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And more should than are. God has called a lot more to serve in ministry than have gone, than have signed up. But how do you decide that? How do you figure that out? A famous preacher once said that a successful man is a man who finds out what God wants him to accomplish in his life and then fulfills it. Fulfills it. Very profound statement. The true measure of an individual's success is not social status or how much money you have in the bank or your influence or how famous you are. It's simply doing what God wants you to do. We downplay that so much. We tend in our human society, we tend to elevate certain things. How do you know? Well, you've heard the statement, well, my grandson, he's a doctor. La-di-da. And I'm all about you being proud of your grandkid and what they've accomplished, but when you say the word doctor, whoo. We have a doctor in the room this morning. And I'm sure there's been times in that doctor's life when he said, dear me, this ain't what it's cracked up to be. Some might say, well, he's a lawyer. La-di-da. You say, well, Brother Dan, are you making fun of those professions? Absolutely not. But what if the world was all doctors and nothing else? Where would we be? We'd be a healthy bunch, wouldn't we? Where would we be if in the world all there were lawyers? Everybody'd be broke. Because we'd sue everybody. You get my drift here? It takes everyone. And it's the same thing in the body of Christ. God does not elevate one position above another. The Bible does talk about honoring some folks, but he does not elevate the position and body. In fact, when you start studying the scripture, you find that in the body of Christ, it's much like our very own body, that if you're missing or one of the members of the body is not functioning as it should, the entire body suffers, is what the Bible says. Amen? So the will of God for me is best when I just do what God wants me to do. The purpose of this lesson is that we might have a clear understanding of what the will of God is as revealed in the Bible, and so that then I can accomplish those things which God has given me to accomplish. We start, number one, with everyone has questions about life as you're growing up. And as we approach adulthood, and many of us are well into adulthood, we begin to think about things such as what we will do or where we're going to go, who we're going to marry, where we're going to live. All these things, all these decisions will plague us. And it doesn't, and even though we might already have accomplished much in life, you're still faced with decisions. Many in this room have had to face the decision of retirement. When to retire. And if I do, I have all these decisions to make. Do I need to move? Can I sustain or can I maintain the same level of living that I have been living all these years? There's so many decisions that you have to make in life. Now, these questions, along with many others, are very important. Seeking the counsel and advice of those we know care for us is always a smart decision. But for the Christian, it's very important that we seek the advice and the counsel of the one who knows all, sees all, and cares for us more than anyone in the entire world. And that is God. We need His wisdom, His direction in these areas. So every believer needs to seek God's will for his life. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. You know the verse, 1 Corinthians 6:19. What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost that you have of God? And you are not your own, it says, for you have been bought with the price. Why is it that when we belong to somebody as God, the creator of the universe, why is it that He's the last one that has input in anything that we make as far as a decision in our life? Sometimes He's the very last person that gets consulted in the mix. And many times He's not even a factor when it comes to making a decision. That ought not to be. It should be the desire of every believer to please the Lord with their life, because the Bible says in Revelation 4:11 that we were all created for God's glory. And that changes things when you look at it from the proper biblical perspective. Every single one of us in this room and listening online, we were created for God's glory. God made you specifically because He wants you to glorify Him. And you are created. You're part of His workmanship. And much like someone that builds something, whether it be a career or whether it be those that are in construction and they finish a home or a business and they step back and they go, wow, that's nice. That's how God feels when He creates you. He makes you. He forms you, the Bible says, even when you're in the womb. And it's for His glory. For His glory. So God has a plan and a purpose for every believer. True happiness and contentment are found in knowing and fulfilling God's will for our lives. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if every believer in Christ, if we lived our lives to fulfill that purpose that God created us for? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing in our life if every individual took what they wanted for their life and looked to God and said, Lord, does this fit in your plan? Because if it fits in your plan, that's a wonderful thing. And that would be a great thing. But if it doesn't fit in your plan, I submit to what your will is for my life. I choose you over me, knowing that you know best. I don't know near as much as I need to in order to make those decisions. So number one, we've got the will of God, and we know that God has a plan and purpose for every believer. And true happiness and contentment are found in knowing and fulfilling God's will for our life. If you were to look back, let's say at the last 10 years of your life, could you say this? I do not regret. I do not regret anything that I've done in my life. And if a regret shows up, more than likely, it was a time in your life that you made a decision and God wasn't included in on that decision. Because I can tell you this, anytime I look back, if I were to look back in the last 10 years of my life, and I see where God asked me to do something, and I obeyed God, I chose God over Dan, I've never regretted following God. Ever. It has always worked out for my good. I didn't say it's always been comfortable. I didn't say that it didn't feel like I was starting all over again at age 45. I just said that I've never regretted following God and what He wanted me to do. Number two, God's will is found in God's will. In God's Word, I mean. God's will is found in God's Word. How do we know God's will for our life? How can we know if God is leading in this direction or that direction? How can we know if God wants us to be married to a particular person or take a certain job or career path or sell the house or trade cars or I mean, just fill in the blank. I even allow Him in, not always, but on what route I'm supposed to take for work. That happened here when I moved to East Tennessee. Ice is treacherous. It don't take too much smarts, but even a Mexico-raised boy knows that when you get on ice, there's not very many absolutes. It don't matter if you have a four-wheel drive or not. You will go where the ice leads you. Amen? And so there's many times I'll pray about, Lord, do I need to go the other road here? Oh, what's that road that goes by Powell's down in here? The one that heads to Boone's Creek? At the old Gray Station Road? You know, but that one, it does this, you know. Or many times I have come down through here on 26 and there'll be an accident and it'll be backed up all the way to Johnson City. And I have avoided that by asking the Lord, which route should I take to work today? And you just feel impressed or led to go the other way. And then you go la, 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 to everybody that's sitting in line waiting for them to move a wreck out of the way. Not really, you shouldn't do that, but I'm not saying I didn't get in the flesh a time or two. Even in decisions that small. First, there's a difference between God's will and God's specific plan for every person's life. We're going to see that God's will is the same for everyone. God's will is the same for everyone. Second, God's specific plan for each person's life, marriage, career, direction in life, is made known to us, this is very important, it's made known to us as we obey His will. As you obey His will, He lets you in on that specific plan for His wife. In other words, for your life. In other words, be what God wants you to be, and He will show you specifically what He wants you to do. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? It's not very complicated. Because God's will is not a mystery. So many times growing up, it was like I would scratch my head, so much so that you see the results. And it seems so complicated, but it truly is not that complicated. He wants every believer to clearly know what His will is. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is," He says. And His will can be found in His Word. Which is why, again, it's important that we get into His Word. The more we get into His Word, the more His Word gets into us, that causes change. The direct result of God's Word getting into us, the result is change in our life. And that could mean change by you discovering what God's specific will is, or plan is, not will, plan for your life specifically. Because what God's plan for your life specifically is not God's plan for my life specifically. Everyone's not supposed to be a doctor. Everyone's not supposed to be an engineer. Everyone is not supposed to be a lawyer. Everyone's not supposed to be a preacher or a missionary. That's God's specific plan for each individual's life, and He will show that to you. We know that it is God's will that all men be saved. And when it talks about all men, it's referring to men and women. You look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. He says in verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior," semicolon, what is good, "who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." There's a doctrine that's being floated around out there. I don't really care to know about it. I've heard about it. I'm not going to study it. I'm going to study God's Word and know what God's Word says. And so if any false doctrine shows up, it'll light up like a Christmas tree. And I'll know it's not in Scripture. But we need to be careful with thinking, because we don't, in our human pea brain, we don't understand how God can be all-knowing and know everything about everybody, and He's eternal. We can't justify or compensate for the fact that He would be all-knowing and yet He doesn't decide this one's going to be saved, that one's going to be saved, this one's not going to be saved, that one's going to go to hell. God does not do that, because that goes directly against what the Word of God says, not only here, but in many places. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," that means anybody that wants it, "believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's, excuse me for saying this, but it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. And then He says here, "who will have all men to be saved." How can God have all men to be saved and Him be the one deciding this one yes, this one no, this one yes, this one no? It doesn't go. It doesn't coincide with who He is and His nature. So that one's easy. But we know that that's God's will. 2 Peter 3:9 talks about it as well. We know that it's God's will that every believer be Spirit-filled. Ephesians, once again, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says this. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And 18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is God's will for every believer. Galatians 5 says, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Each believer that has Christ in his heart has the Holy Spirit of God that indwells you. You have Him with you 110% of all time. He's with you. It's God's will that every believer be Spirit-filled. It's God's will that every believer be thankful. 1 Thessalonians, you know the verse in 5:18, giving thanks always. We're supposed to be thankful. We're supposed to be a thankful people. We're not supposed to grumble. Hallelujah. And I saw several bump their husband and say, see there? Not really. Be thankful. That's God's will. We know that it's God's will that every believer be sanctified. Look what 1 Thessalonians 4 says. In verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your what? Your sanctification. That is the process where after you're saved, you enter into the process of every day you become more and more like Christ. You will never achieve perfection until you get a new body and we're in heaven. But the process begins at salvation and we begin to change. I say we begin to change because God does His work in our heart and in our life, and the Holy Spirit of God changes us. That process is called sanctification. Sanctification. That ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence or the desire, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto what? Uncleanness, but He's called us unto holiness. Well, we can read that and we know that that's God's will for everyone, for every believer, that we be sanctified. It's God's will that every believer have a submissive attitude to those that they serve. What? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says this. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of heart. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 21. What does it say? Say it with me out loud. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Who submits to who? Everyone to everyone. Did you know, if you look at the progression here from Ephesians 5 all the way to Ephesians 6, before he says husbands or wives submit to your husband, your own husbands, he says. Before he says that, he says submit one to another. Did you know that before it says that we're supposed to submit to those that are in authority, he says to submit one to another? Before he says children submit to your parents, he says we are supposed to submit one to another. There's a reason for that. That's the will of God. But that's a whole nother subject for a whole nother time. Amen? It is God's will that we sometimes suffer for well-doing. 1 Peter chapter 3. I won't read it because we're going to finish here in a second. It's God's will that we as believers get along and that we should be one in Christ. Shame on us for the testimony that we have in the world sometimes, for not getting along. Shame on us. We shouldn't ought to be that way. God's will is that we get along. In fact, He's even made a way for us to get along because He has given us the Holy Spirit of God that abides in us. He's given us His Word, and we can all be on the same page because we have the ability to, through the Holy Spirit and His Word, we can be unified. And yet sometimes we are some of the most divisive people on the planet. Shame on us. That's God's will. Obviously, the list could go on. The point is very clear, though. God has already told us in His Word what His will is for every believer, and it's not hard to discover or to understand. What's the hard part? Obey. Remember asking your kids as we were growing up, as they were growing up, Did you understand what I had told you to do?
Yes.
Why didn't you do it?
I don't know.
We could ask the same thing to the adults in this room. God could stand here and say, did you understand what I said?
Yes.
Why didn't you do it?
I don't know.
Very same thing. The hard part is the obedience. I don't doubt one bit. You know, when you look at the exchange in John, I think it's John 21, with Christ and Peter, and he asks him repeatedly, do you love me? You know, I don't doubt for one moment that we love God with all of our heart. I don't doubt that for one moment. I don't doubt for one moment that anybody in this room would be willing to sacrifice something for the Lord. But when it gets to the part where Christ tells Peter, he says, well, then follow me. So many times we act like he did, and the first thing he did is he turned around and he said, well, what about him? He's talking about John. What about John? And Christ answered him, and in essence, if you'll read it, it's super funny. If you read it, he says, what do you care if he stays until the second coming or till I come again? I'm talking to you. You follow me. And that's where it gets down to the nitty-gritty when it comes to the will of God. The will of God is defined for every believer in the Word of God. Now, God's specific plan for your life is on an individual basis. And we need to understand that the more that we obey or the more that we follow God's will by way of His Word, the more He reveals His specific plan individually to each and every one of us in our life. If I were to ask, do you want to know those specifics? Everyone would say, well, absolutely. You know what to do then. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We love you. Thank you for spelling your will out in your Word. Lord, please help us to read more, to know more, to get to know you more, so that we can understand your specific plan in each and every one of our lives. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.
Thank you.